Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So glad you're here with us today. It's a great day to be in God's house. Before we start and do any more, I want to introduce Mateo Brooker, who is our guest musician today. Could you guys give him a round of applause, please? And he comes with his own cheering section, evidently. His parents are here. Please wave your hand. Nice to have you here. I don't know if others are here for Mateo, but we're delighted that he's with us. And he gets two thumbs up from Andrew, so we're excited and happy to be here. No more pressure, okay? Just don't worry. You got it. You got it.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated.
First reading is Isaiah 51, lines 1 through 6. A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you are the pursuit of righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look for the rock which you are hewn, and the quarry from which you were dug. Look at Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will not comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give my heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out. And my arms will rule the peoples, and coastlands wait for me. And for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, and earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of my kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. All right, be seated, and I'll invite the kids to come forward for children's time. All right, good job. Okay, you'll show me a drawing real quick. Oh, that is so cool, Jonah. Did you make that? Yeah, that's cool. Do you guys see it? Yeah, Jonah made it. That's cool. All right, let's sit down, okay? Can we sit around? Oh, man, how are y'all? School is almost starting, isn't it? Hey, man. No, you don't want school to start? I know. Summer's been fun, right? You had a birthday. Who else had a birthday this summer? Anybody else? Anybody out here have a birthday this summer? Yeah, nobody but me and Katie? All right, well, we're the summer folks. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you could go to one place, your favorite place, where would you go? Where would you go, Jonah?
I would go to everywhere.
You would go everywhere? At one time, Henry, where would you go? What's your favorite place? Where?
Utah.
Utah? Have you been to Utah? And you like it. There's lots of big rocks and parks and stuff there. What's your favorite place?
Legoland.
Oh, I am not surprised. Yeah. What's Mia's favorite place?
Dougie?
No,
doggy.
Oh, her doggy. That's her favorite thing.
Anywhere her daddy is.
Okay. So, let's see. You're going everywhere. You're going to Utah. You're going to Legoland. Do you know where I would go? I would go someplace I've never gone because that's my favorite.
I like going to new places. Do you like going to new places? Did anyone go to any new places that you'd never been before? Yeah. A couple of years ago, you went to a place called what?
Dorney Park.
Dorney Park, yeah. Okay, we got a lot. If you... You went to a movie theater, yeah. Well, I think it's fun to go to places that we love to go to, right? To go back to the beach or to go to Legoland and spend lots of your parents' money. Or maybe it's to go to Utah. But it's also fun to go to new places. Today, during the sermon, I'm going to talk about a place. And it is a big, huge cave. Have you guys ever seen a cave? Yeah. Have you seen it on pictures? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone inside a cave? I've gone. You have? What was inside the cave? Yes, stalactites and stalagmites. Yeah, I've been to cages like that, Crystal Cathedral and some others. Look, she gave me Woody. I get to take Woody home with me? No, okay. I like going to caves like that. And so the cave I'm going to talk about, thank you for sharing. The cave that I want to, that I'm going to talk about is a cave that I've actually gone to. And it is in a country called Israel. Do you know where Israel is? It's about halfway around the world. And when you go around the globe and you get to the Mediterranean Sea, there's a lot of places there, and right there on the east coast of the Mediterranean is where Jesus grew up. And Jesus did a lot of cool things there. Thank you. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today was he asked his disciples and said, who am I? Have you ever asked anybody, who am I? All right, give it back to her. Okay. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, who am I? Or when you look in the mirror, you know who you are, right? Oh, you look in the mirror sometimes and goes, what is this? But it's you, right? No matter what happens, it's us. Whenever we go someplace, it's still us. But we can experience new places and fun places. We can have fun at a water park, at a riding a roller coaster, maybe going to Legoland. And so what I want us to think about, I want you guys to think about your favorite places. And I want you to think about how grateful you are that you got to go there with your family and how much fun it is. So let's pray to God that we're grateful, okay? Let's put our hands together and let's pray. Pray after me. Dear God, we thank you for all the places we've gone and all the places we'll get to go. Thank you, God. Amen. All right, thank you. All right, you guys can head back to your seats, okay? You're going to the Phillies. We were at the Phillies game last night. Yeah, Joanne and the Schreiders, and let's see, who else was there? Brad was there, and Yannette was there. It was a lot of fun. You going to go with Mommy, or are you going to stay here with me? You going to stay here with me? All right. Thank you. She just said, good luck. All right, so as I was telling the kids, I'm going to talk today about a place. It's a place in the Bible, but it is also a physical place today. How many of you guys have ever gone to a cave? Been in a cave, been seeing all the stuff that's inside a cave? Cindy and I had the pleasure of going to Israel a few years ago, and we spent a lot of time on the West Bank, which is the Palestinian side, and that's the home where a lot of Palestinians live, both in the West Bank and also in Gaza. We were not at that point allowed to go to Gaza. It was unsafe. It's even more unsafe today. But we went to Galilee and to the west area. And one of the things that was so amazing is you go to all these different places and they'll say, okay, here's the mount that we think Jesus did the Beatitudes at, right? Or they'll go to a place and they'll say, we think that Jesus sort of was probably baptized in this region right now. And one of the things that's so cool is that you go to these places and it's magical. I mean, it's like I'm standing where Jesus stood. And then someone, including our guide, would say, but we're not certain that he was here. This is sort of where we think he might have been, or it's in the same region. But we went to a place where there was no question that Jesus had been there. And it is called Caesarea Philippi. The text says that he was in Caesarea Philippi. So we get out at the bus, and we're going to go see Caesarea Philippi. And we stop at this church first that's right on the water, right? And this is the Sea of Galilee, right? And we got our feet in the Sea of Galilee. I actually walked on water. It was really kind of cool. If you don't believe that, Sydney has pictures to show that I walked on the water. It was actually a metal gate, right? A grate that's under there so you can walk and you appear like you are. So we went in this church, and there is this huge rock up at the front of the church. And what they tell about this church is that this is the rock that Jesus was referencing when he says, Peter, you are the rock on which I'll build my church. And so you get to get really close to it. And if you're on the right side and there's not too many people there, you can reach over the gate and you can touch the rock. And it was like really cool to see that rock. But then we walk about, I don't know, 50 meters, something like that, and we went around this spring that's feeding into this pond and down into the Jordan River, and we come around this corner, and there is this huge gaping hole in the mountainside. And this is a rock mountain. And there is this cave. And I'm telling you right now, if you look at the window, either here or there, it is bigger sideways than that window. It was huge. And it looked like it was a gaping mouth. I mean, it's not this clear, smooth entrance into that. It is a rocky, craggy, ugly kind of cave in the middle of this rock mountain. And we're standing there, and our guide begins to tell us, this is where Jesus stood. And we're like, okay, you've told us 15 times. We're not exactly sure that's where he stood. But he says, this one, I know. And I'm like, why? And he said, remember the text that I just read. It says that Peter answers Jesus. Now, it's interesting that Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? Who do the people say that I am? He has sent an entire ministry, has told people who he is. Now, sometimes he does these miraculous and wonderful things, and he tells his disciples not to tell anyone, which I still don't understand. He was preaching and healing and all the things around all of Galilee. Why does he leave some of these moments private? And this is one of them. It's that moment when Jesus says, there's some rumors out there about who I am. And the disciples told him, but he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and he says, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah that we've been awaiting. And think about this. Peter is the only one that answers according to the text. And Peter's response according to the text is perfect for Jesus. That's what he was looking for. He was making sure that the disciples knew exactly who he was and what he came for. And this moment is so miraculous. It's so important because it was at that moment when Jesus and the rest of the disciples know we're in this together. We may have had doubts, we may have wondered, but in this moment, Peter has said, you are the Messiah. And the other disciples heard that. And Jesus, as I said, turned and said, you are the rock upon which I will build my church. That's why we often call Peter the rock of faith. Peter, that rock, that foundation of the church. As a matter of fact, Catholic bishops go all the way back to Peter as that first apostle, as that disciple who proclaimed who Jesus was. And it's a powerful moment, but that next line is also important. When Jesus says, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not stand against us. We are so powerful together that nothing will come between us. And the reason we know he was standing there is because there is the rock right there in that church, not too far away. And there is this gaping hole that for centuries, people in this part of the world had called the gateway to Hades, to the underworld. And Jesus is looking at that amazing cave, and he's looking down at this rock, and they come together in this moment. You are the rock. You are the one who believes in me and shares who I am and knows who I am and names me out loud in front of the others. And here is the cave, the entrance way to Hades, that everyone has believed for centuries is the gateway to the underworld. And he says, that won't stop me. If that won't stop me, if Hades himself and Satan, any demons that come out of that cave, they're not going to impact us. We're that powerful. And what I love about the story, and I love about being able to walk on those places, is we're standing there, and one of my dear friends, Matt O'Rear, and I were standing in front of the gates of Hades, and we do this picture that is just kind of going, like we can't, like the mouth of the, you know, doing that, and then we turn around, and I screamed into the hillside, Jesus! Jesus! This rock is where I'll stand. Jesus, Jesus Christ, the one who came to save us, the Messiah, who gave up his life so that we would have eternal life, who gave up his life on the cross so that we would not bear that sin. Jesus who makes everything turn around. It's in that moment when Jesus says, here is my rock and you ain't stopping me. Here's where we stand. This is where we become the Christians that follow Christ in a new way. The disciples in the Gospel of Matthew says, you are the Messiah. There is only one other time in Matthew that that is said. And that is by the centurion at the cross who says, surely you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Those two places are the only places where that is spoken in the entire Gospel. It is because Jesus wants the disciples to claim who he is and claim that power and claim that ability. And the centurion wants to say, we were wrong. We were wrong. He is the Messiah. What a powerful connection between the beginning and the end of that text. But see, here's the question today. Who do you say that Jesus is? If someone comes up to you and says, I hear that you go to church on a regular basis. You go to St. Mark's, that cool church in Conshohocken, right? Who do you say Jesus is? Do you have an answer? If someone asked you that question, who is Jesus? Do you have an answer? Noah has an answer. What's the answer? Who is Jesus?
He's God's son.
He's God's son, right? That's what we need to know. That's what we need to be able to speak into the world, into the void, into the cave. Jesus, Son of God, you are the Messiah. And we are in that church, that rock, that foundation that we sit on. And that is who we need to be in the world so that others will be able to see God through us, that they will see our hands and our feet, our bodies, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, like that gaping mouth that we turn to in Caesarea Philippi and say, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus was indeed the Son of God, and he will return one day. And we are the people, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac, the descendants of all of the prophets of old, all are descendants of that line. That's who we are. We're God's children. And someone someday will look at you and say, who do you say I am? Maybe it's at Pearly Gates. Maybe it's just right before you're gone. Someone will ask you, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus for you? And your answer, Jesus changed my life. Jesus came into my life and everything changed. It wasn't smooth sailing. We still had some rocky times. We still had some moments where we had doubt. There are still moments when we think the world is lost and that we are adrift all alone. There will still be moments when we wonder what life can still be, no matter what age we are. There are moments when, and even in our faithfulness, we stand back and say, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I can say that. And God says, say it anyway. When someone is hurting, to say, I'm here. When someone who is in pain says, God will heal you in whatever way that's possible. Maybe it's not physically. Maybe it's just spiritually. When someone is deeply, deeply saddened by what's going on in their life, to say, God loves you, and so do I. That is the claiming of our Christian call. That is the claiming of answering that question. Who do you say I am? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who died on a cross for all of us. So hopefully when you get that question asked, you'll be brave enough, maybe even doubting, a little wondering, but you'll still answer, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and Jesus changes everything. Amen. This one together, all right? We're doing this together. Listen to the tune, you know it. Sing. Okay, I'm lost. Are you lost? A little bit? All right. Andrew said, they'll know the tune, and I trusted Andrew, and I love Andrew, but I don't know the tune. You guys, are y'all as lost as I am? This is not Andrew's fault. I guess it's our fault that we just don't remember the hymn. So we're going to kind of punt a little bit. Let's speak the hymn instead of singing the hymn, all right? So we can speak the words together. All right, so you're off on this song. We're just going to say it together. We sing to you, O God, the rock who gave us birth. Let our rejoicing sing your name in all the earth. To you, O God, let songs be praised. In joyful hymns, our feast of praise. We wandered far from home, out in a desert land. You shielded with your love our fearful pilgrim band. You kept us safe within your arms and sheltered us against the storm. You bear us through the world, an eagle to its young. You rise up on your wings and bear us toward the sun. We ride the vaults of light and air and trust in your unfailing care. O God, eternal God, we hide within your wings, the everlasting arms to whom our praises ring. Your word is true, your way is just. You are the God in whom we trust. Wow, powerful words. Will you join me in repeating and saying the creed with our gusto and our faith? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With bold trust in God's unfailing provision, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creations. A brief silence. She's laughing at me now. God, our rock, you are the foundation of which the church is built. Strengthen and encourage your faithful people everywhere they gather, that they boldly proclaim with your word of life to all the world. Merciful God, you spoke and all creation came into being. Field and forest, wetland and wilderness, all reveal your glory. Sustain and nourish your creation. Teach us to be wise stewards of all you have made. Merciful God, you bring deliverance to nations and peoples. Come to aid of nations experiencing war, conflict, disease, famine, and disaster. Guide the work of relief agencies and peacemaking organizations. Merciful God, you regard the lowly and hear us when we cry out to you. Be present among all who struggle with addiction, housing insecurity, incarceration, and mental illness, that they know that they are not alone. Hear our prayers for all who are ill, especially Dolores, Francis, Kathy Liberato, Ed, Nancy, Annie, Bobby, Jessica, Frank, Larry, Rose, Michael, Manny, Pam, and Nikki. Merciful God, you draw together people with different gifts. Lift up the many and varied gifts and talents of this congregation and strengthen the bonds of fellowship that all may be united as the body of Christ. Merciful God, your steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks for the faithful who died in hope of this promise. Strengthen us in faithful until the day we join them at your eternal banquet. Merciful God, receive our prayers and answer, O God, as you have promised. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share signs of peace with one another. All right. Be seated, please. Oh, peace be with you, girl. Peace be with you.
Yes, yes.
All right. Evidently. Oh, Joanne's going to do it. Do we have any God sightings? Have any God sightings today? Raise your hand if you do. Joanne has the microphone. I'll just share one. I know that it's hard to get a group of people to all go do something at the same time. But last night, there were eight of us all together, I think, with folks who were there at the Phillies game, St. Mark's night. And I got to tell you, it was so much fun. I also could have been killed because I wore my New York Yankees jersey. I do have red glasses, a red watch, and a red phone, so Brad told me I was okay. But the guy behind me was not okay with me wearing an, you know, Aaron Judge jersey. But we had such a good time. And it was delightful just to sit there, the row of us just having a good time. And I knew that God enjoys a good baseball game. And that was a good baseball game. It was a good baseball game. And we had just such fun together. So that was a God sighting for me, that we had such a good time. And it was a part of our faith journey together. Any other God sightings today? Yeah, back in the back. No. I know, but
It's easier if you do the mic so people online and everyone else can hear.
This time of year, it can be stressful, especially those who have kids in education or those who are teachers like me. And so that transition of like ending summer and starting with school, and this past week was just really overwhelming. Trying to get my own kids set up, trying to get myself set up, and I was just feeling really just down, just in the dumps. And my brother called, and it was just, I don't know how many you can relate to this, but like just because you have a sibling, if you're a different sex, or if you're 4 years apart, or if you're in very different careers, or you're very different humans, you do not always, weren't always close. And so I just, listening to him and talking to him for 45 minutes while I walked around a parking lot in King of Prussia during my kids' wrestling practice, it was exactly what I needed. And, he was calling for advice, but I may have gotten more out of it. And the amount of times we both said, everything happens for a reason, and we're placing this in God's hands as he's going through his own transition, it felt amazing. And so, I think I'm getting to a stage in life where family is even more important to me, as people are passing and people are coming in. And so it was what exactly I needed on a Thursday night. And I just wanted to share.
That's awesome. All right, if you'll turn to the back of your bulletin and look at a couple of our announcements that are coming up, just to make sure you know everything that's happening. The choirs are starting in just a couple of weeks, and so if you're part of the adult choir, the bells are the baby bells. The calendar is there. Also, if you go on our website, we have a calendar there, and all those events coming up are listed there. But you can see more information about our choir. Faith formation, our Sunday school for all kids is going to begin on the 20th, and I think they have all the teachers they need. They're still looking for some kids, but we're excited about that happening. But first, we're going to have our sort of fall kickoff on September the 13th. We're going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate. I think that there will be some sort of very sweet thing that you can all celebrate with afterwards. So please be there. And I just want you to know we're starting our confirmation class this fall. We're going to have a gathering right after church on September 27th with adults and their youth who are interested in doing confirmation. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about us starting. We also have a couple of people who are ready for First Communion. So if you will remind me and let me know by email what's going to happen with all that, I would really, really appreciate it. Other than that, I think that that's all the announcements, unless someone else has something to lift up. All right. I invite our ushers to come forward for our morning offering. Let us pray. Loving God, we offer at your table the gifts of our hearts. Help us take heart in you and share freely of your love so that all creation can taste your abundance. We ask this in the name of Jesus, through the Spirit abiding with us now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this always, and pour out, O God, your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And now, remember, Lord, us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Today we celebrate communion at the rail. The ushers will direct you to come forward. Everyone is welcome at our table. Whether you have not had communion in a long time or you feel like you doubt whether or not you deserve it, I'm telling you right now, everyone is welcome at our table. You will take bread from me. If you need gluten-free, please let me know because that's available. Apple juice will be in the tray. It's the lighter beverage. You can have the poured cup for wine. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
please rise? Let us pray. Compassionate God, through the gifts of bread and wine, our hearts are filled with the abundance of your love.
Strengthen us that we, through this holy meal, may share your love freely as you have shared with us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, through the Spirit nourishing us now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, Creator Christ and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. I got to ask you, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? I'm going to do it again. This time, I want you to say it like you're yelling into that cave, all right? Who do you say Jesus is? Yes. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thank Mateo one last time. All right.